You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with Simon Antrobus. He's RNIB's CEO. Simon, thank you for joining us.
Good to catch up, Alan.
So, we're back once again. A couple of topics to discuss today. And we're at that time of year. Many businesses, private, public sector, third sector, because, you know, the lot, but at the beginning of the financial year, the new budgets are in place. And again, you know, for RNIB, a really important time. A lot of work going in to look at the budgets for the year ahead, because it is a challenging time for many organisations across the UK and across the world, in fact, especially those in the third sector.
We live in uncertain times, don't we? I mean, it's incredibly tough for all charities out there at the moment. And I have to say, I'm so grateful of the support we get from our supporters across the UK who really do show up in their numbers to make sure that there's income coming in to the organisation. It's an important part of being able to deliver the things we want to do. We want to deliver the right kind of support to blind and partially sighted people. If we want to try and drive some change by influencing or solve some of the challenges that blind and partially sighted people face, then income is important. And also getting our budget and the way we set ourselves up from a financial point of view right is really important.
It must be a difficult thing for charities to do, whether it's planning a 3 years or 5 years ahead. There are so many external factors which can affect things, and fundraising is a big part of that. So there must be a lot of work goes into planning the budget, even, you know, every year, you know, signing that budget off, working out what can easily be afforded, any deficits are, looking at fundraising as well. So it's a complex piece of work.
You know, it starts in September, October in 2025. Our financial year just ended at the end of March 26. So we've gotten from September to March to prepare for the next year's budget for 26-27. And there's a heck of a lot of work that goes in just to make sure that we are funding all the right activities, that we've got a clear plan about what we want to do and how much it costs, and then setting that up so that we've got all the budgets in the right place, as I say, to deliver the support that we want to deliver, whether that, you know, is information and advice, our helpline, or whether it's the campaigning that we undertake, or how we try and solve some of the challenges that blind and partially sighted people face. So we put all of that together, and then we have a long, hard look at, well, where's the money coming from? And are we going to raise enough money? And it is an incredibly tough environment for fundraising at the moment. The team do a brilliant job, and we've got some amazing supporters. It's incredible, Alan, and it's a real source of pride that we've got such great support for the organisation, because there's a big job of work for us to do, and getting that income generation right is really important too.
I mean, many charities look at their spend for the year ahead, then they're setting those budgets. Reserves are all important as well, because many charities have, over the past few years now, had to dip into a lot of these reserves to try and keep them at a certain level. So, you know, more pressure on fundraising and so on. And again, for many charities like RNIB, you know, legacy donations are a huge part of that, but that's something which is money coming in further down the line. So again, you know, something extra to juggle there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we're incredibly grateful for those individuals and families that leave us a legacy. It makes a huge difference to what we can do for blind and partially sighted people. And you're right to acknowledge it's a really tough environment out there. And since COVID, the way people think about supporting charities has changed as well. So we've had the cost of living crisis. We've had a real shift in emphasis of what charities should be doing. There's a real responsibility on us as RNIB to demonstrate that we're using people's money, their donations, properly and appropriately, and that we're really focused on driving change for blind and partially sighted people. And how we show up out there, how we tell the story of what's needed, is equally important too. So you're right, it's a tough environment. You do need to make sure that you can cover your costs. That's critical, but also make sure that you've got money in reserve should you hit a difficult patch as well. And I'm pleased to say that we're in a pretty strong position in that sense. We can always do with people's donations. If they're feeling generous, then we would really appreciate that. But obviously, it's clear we can't do the things that we want to do to help blind and partially sighted people if we don't get support from our really generous donors.
Is it a difficult thing to do, balancing, the budget for the coming year or years against, the services that are provided as well? Because there's only so much, I suppose, that charities can do. You try not to overlap services with other charities as well. So is that a difficult balancing act?
It is, to be honest, Alan. It's a tough one. And look, we're very clear that we are in the business of providing support to blind and partially sighted people and their families. That's really important to us. So we want to do as much as we possibly can with the available funds that we have. But we have to make some tough decisions about where to focus our energy and effort. And I'd love us to be able to do more. I'm super impressed with what we do and really pleased with how the team approaches making sure that we've got the right kind of balance of support and campaigning in place. But there's always more we could do, Alan, always more. We can't ever be complacent in this space. We've got to make sure we're on top of things. And we've had to be very clear as an organisation that we need to live within our means. And that's meant having to take some decisions over the last couple of months about how we set up our finances and budget. And I have to say, Alan, the team have responded brilliantly. We've been also surprised and delighted by a number of donations that we've had over the last couple of weeks that have really helped us as well. So, as I say, never be complacent, make sure we can live within our means, think about the priorities and what's really important to blind and partially sighted people, and you'll more or less get yourself into a decent position. But it is tough out there. It's a very tough environment to show up as a charity.
Well, I'd like to highlight one of the services as well, and a project which RNIB is involved in at the moment, See Work Differently. And this comes on top of a story just recently in the press, actually, this week, about the Labour government looking to allow more people with disabilities to actually try work, have a go at work in a job, earning money, not lose your welfare payments in case it doesn't work out. And that's for volunteering as well. Again, volunteering helps build some vital skills and build some self-esteem and confidence too. So some good news there. But on that work front, the See Work Differently programme within RNIB, obviously bringing in blind people, giving them 10 weeks of paid employment, 15 hours per week, and across different departments, they're learning, they're getting that in-work experience. Because I think the way I look at it, if you're actually in work, it's easier to find work. And if you can demonstrate on your CV that you have worked for, a business, a charity, or whatever, that's more weapons in your armory to get a job.
Absolutely. And look, as you say, I've been here 3 months, but even from day one, the issue of employment has come across my desk from the point of view of access to work and the support that blind and partially sighted people get when they're in work. But I do think there is a really important job for us to do at RNIB to really celebrate and champion the role that blind and partially sighted people can play in employment. And I have to say, it's frustrating for me that there are too many blind and partially sighted people who are not in employment, who could absolutely be in a job and desperately want to work, but sometimes the systems mitigate against them. So that might be the kind of discrimination that exists out there, sadly still. But equally, this risk about giving up your benefits to take a risk on a job that you might not think might not work out. So the fact that there are opportunities to consider in that space from a government point of view, I think is really good, because we all know here at RNIB that there's a big, big contribution that blind and partially sighted people can make to work and to being in work, and a real sense of opportunity in that space. And anything that encourages that to happen in a supportive and appropriate way. What we don't want to do is trivialize this. All the blind and partially sighted people that I talk to are desperate to get into work. They want to work. So we need to make sure there's a system that enables that to happen, not just in, say, RNIB, but any organization. And I'm pleased that, we play our part in encouraging other corporate partners to play their part as well in terms of employment.
And the charity has the Visibly Better Employer Standard, so we work with corporates and so on to show them the benefits of employing a blind or partially sighted person. We tell them how that can be supported. You know, you've got Tesco are part of that as well. But I'm sure you'll agree, equally important that a charity like RNIB is bringing people in who are blind or partially sighted, giving them that paid experience as well, and helping them to move on to other jobs too. So you'd almost, you know, you're not just telling people what to do, you're actually showing what can be done.
Yeah, I mean, we have absolutely, you're right, Alan, we have to absolutely lead by example. If we've got an expectation that other organisations should sign up to our Visibly Better standards, then we should be living by those standards as well. And I'm confident that we do. And it was, you know, it was quite heartening. I was at a conference recently and I spoke to a corporate partner of ours, and they were delighted that we've been able to advise and guide them on how to make their offices much more user-friendly for blind and partially sighted people. And that's an important thing as well, because I think sometimes there's a confidence element about this that organisations lack the confidence to give it a go. And when they do, they are really pleased with the results, because obviously, you know, absolutely, we've got a large group of people with visual impairment and sight loss who can make a massive contribution to work and across the sector. So we should be encouraging and supporting it.
Now, if you would like to find out more about the See Work Differently programme, or if there's a help that you think RNIB can give you when it comes to finding work, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can call the guys on the helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your smart device to call RNIB's helpline. That's it for this week. Simon, we'll catch up with you again next week, but thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.